And she had a mixed message for the White House. This was on Fox News Sunday yesterday. Here it is.
FEMA has been extraordinary in our community. They have advanced funding to local governments. They have been a phone call, a text away all these months. They just approved an additional large upfront funding to the city of El Paso. Those of us who are engaged on this issue here on the ground have very close communication. We have a text thread. The Border Patrol sector chief keeps us informed daily on the numbers. But I will tell you, Shannon, I do think it's important that we have far more robust support from the State Department. And here's why. Unfortunately, Congress has failed to act on changing our very outdated immigration laws for decades. The federal government, under Congress's direction, has addressed immigration as a border-only issue. We really have to kind of zoom out and recognize this is a Western Hemispheric refugee crisis of historic proportions, impacting all of our countries to the south of us. We really need far more direct engagement from the State Department, and I've called on the State Department to do that.
Well, let's talk about the broader implications, because in talking with Border Patrol agents, which I'm sure that you do on a regular basis, I had one of them, an official, tell me this week that right now in El Paso, about 60 to 70% of personnel is committed to just processing people. They're not patrolling the border. Their opinion is that once Title 42 lifts on Wednesday, about 90% of what they're doing is going to be just processing people. That leaves them unable to patrol the border for cartels, for drug and human trafficking. They say this is a national security issue. I mean, you look at the fiscal year just behind us, 98 people who were on the terror watch list came across the border. That's that we know of, or that were detected there. This is, as you say, a much broader problem. But how worried are you about the national security implications with the current situation and what most people expect will get much worse on Wednesday?
We absolutely have to get our Border Patrol agents back to performing the functions they were trained to do. And that's why we've really got to rework and reform the way things are happening at the border. I have a bill, a piece of legislation that reforms that, that creates a civilian workforce for processing. We, about 4 years ago, I introduced the idea. We funded it. We now have central processing coordinators, civilian public servants for the federal government doing the processing. We've got to expand that so that agents can get back to performing those functions that they need to perform for our national security purposes. Now, I will share with you, like, when you look at those videos, you see mostly folks who are, the vast majority of whom are waiting in line to request asylum. That is what's overwhelming the system, and we've got to make sure that, that we continue to press on Congress to reform what are outdated processes, outdated laws, to adequately fund the State Department, because while, yes, I want the White House to do more, I also want Congress to act. And I don't want us to do more of the same, Shannon, which is focus only on deterrence, focus on immigration as a border issue. We've done that for decades, and this is what it's gotten us today.
Let's put up some hard data.
Yeah, hard data is what we need more of. All you got to do is watch the drone footage. I mean, I'm serious. That's all you need to do is look at the drone footage, and you'll see exactly what's going on along our southern border. Stay with us. Coming up, Tommy Pickett will give us the national perspective on what's going on along our southern border. Also, we're going to talk about the Twitter doc drops. It's becoming obvious that the FBI has been in cahoots with big tech. Stay with us. More to do on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer Employee Benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax-free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in the United States. United States. Call the MultiCare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The MultiCare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky urges European leaders to increase military assistance to Ukraine to withstand Russian aggression. Correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Zelensky, speaking to the meeting of the Joint Expeditionary Force in Latvia, asks for an increase of air defense systems. He says a 100% air defense shield for Ukraine will be one of the most successful steps against Russian aggression. This step is needed right now. Zelensky adds that on Monday morning, Russia used Iranian drones to attack Ukraine. Another compelling reason, Europe states should increase delivery of military equipment. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
President Biden plans to deliver an anti-Semitism message at tonight's White House Hanukkah reception.
The president will address a rise in anti-Semitic events in the U.S. when he gathers this evening for a menorah lighting and Hanukkah blessing. The White House says he will tell guests that silence is complicity and will add that it's imperative that hate, violence, and anti-Semitism are condemned. Last week, the White House hosted a discussion on the topic with Jewish leaders.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Sam Bankman-Fried was back in court in the Bahamas Monday, but the appearance was cut short after an attorney for the disgraced FTX founder said he hadn't been consulted beforehand. Bankman-Fried was expected to tell Judge Shaka Sevilla that he will not face extradition to the U.S., where he faces multiple criminal and civil charges related to FTX's collapse. Instead, Eyewitness News Bahamas is reporting that Bankman-Fried is headed back to jail after hearing that prosecutors and the judge dubbed a waste of time. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 162 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Beef factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Tired of the same old partisan politics? The type that gives Nevada lax voting regulations, reduced educational choice, and bloated, inefficient state government? Feel like you're swimming upstream against a tsunami of special interests and legislators intent on serving the needs of government rather than those of ordinary Nevada residents and businesses? There is hope. I'm John Sarpalis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute. And we are working to hold our elected leaders responsible. This isn't a partisan issue. Republicans and Democrats have let down the very people they claim to represent in Carson City. For the good of our children, our parents, and ourselves, let's come together and work to put policy ahead of politics. Go to NevadaPolicy.org and learn what we're doing to stand up for your freedoms. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
It's 2:04. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Now, beginning January 1st, drivers of older vehicles who apply for the Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles Classic License Plates they're going to be facing new regulations. Under legislation passed by the legislature in 2021, cars and trucks with various classic vehicle plates are not going to be allowed to use or be used for general transportation purposes, and they're going to be limited to being driven no more than 5,000 miles per year. Now that breaks down to 417 miles per month. The average American drives over 13,000 miles a year. That's more than 1,100 miles per month. Now, those looking to register vehicles as classic cars are going to be required to present verification of the classic or antique vehicle insurance. Now, there are age and historical value requirements to receive such an insurance card. Similar to the new regulation, vehicles cannot be driven over 5,000 miles per year, and classic vehicles must be at least 25 years old. Well, that goofy end to the Raiders and Patriots game yesterday netted $2.8 million for a lucky bettor. We'll talk more about that next hour.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Look out for a new incident. That's westbound Tropicana at Cameron. Also, look out for crashes eastbound Bonanza at Nellis, westbound Flamingo at Valley View, and eastbound Sunset. That one is at Eastern Avenue.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number three of Live and Local for a Monday, December 19th, the Monday before Christmas. Good to have you with us, and I'm so excited to have Tommy Pigott on because he was very much a part of our election preparation. He is the Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director, and he joins us. Tommy, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing good, doing good. Have the election in our rearview mirror, and we're looking ahead to 2023. One of the things I want to talk with you about, and it's, to me, this is vitally important. This is big tech essentially becoming involved in our elections, in our government, and it's so wrong on so many levels. Thank you to Elon Musk, by the way, for the document drop on Twitter. I think it's absolutely wonderful. What have you learned at the Republican National Committee about what these texts and emails and different things were about?
Well, these documents indicate that Twitter was involved with censoring information, and it seems like it was in collusion with certain government officials based off of these documents. The government officials were working with Twitter to censor a whole host of information, specifically about the Hunter Biden laptop and Biden family corruption. And there's been indications that that includes what was labeled at the time COVID misinformation as well, which a lot of that quote-unquote misinformation has actually been shown to be true when it comes to questions around COVID's origins and the utility of lockdowns. So we're learning more and more, really raising fundamental important questions of, one, what role was the government playing in censoring free speech? Because that raises constitutional concerns. What role was big tech playing in putting their thumb on the scales in favor of Democrats? Because that also raises legal concerns. with a potential in-kind contribution to the Democratic Party. And I think it also raises broader questions of this is what was happening at Twitter, what was happening at Facebook, what was happening at Google. We know that this extends beyond Twitter to big tech in general, and I'm extremely thankful that we have a Republican majority coming into the House of Representatives that's going to hold big tech accountable and work to get the American people answers.
This stuff is clearly wrong on so many levels, but my question is it criminal? Is it something that, you know, we're talking today about criminal referrals to the Department of Justice. My question is there something here that will end up putting people in jail?
I can't really speculate that at this point, and I think part of what we're faced with is really exploring the details of a lot of what was happening. This is really raising questions and showing proof that there was this communication between government officials and Twitter, and that Twitter was even violating their own rules at some point in terms of kicking people off their platform, censoring posts. We know that it's wrong, like you said, and I think part of what's going to happen here is really an investigation to hold big tech accountable. And if they were acting in a way that could be a potential in-kind contribution to the Democratic Party that was inappropriately censoring your information, I think getting to the bottom of that and really addressing what happened here and what accountability could look like, whether that's criminal, whether that's legislation, whether that's hosting or holding hearings in order to get these big tech executives before the American people, I think accountability could come in a lot of different ways. And I think part of the challenge before us is to figure out what is most appropriate now that we really have these really damaging and worrying documents in these Twitter files.
Is it possible, and I see this clip every so often of Jack Dorsey answering a one-word answer of no as to whether they were tipping the scales. Did he lie to Congress? I mean, I keep asking the question. It sounds like he lied, a bold-faced lie, to Congress.
Well, it depends. Did he know what was going on? And if he did, and, you know, I would think that he would, but, you know, possible that he didn't. If he did know what was going on, then that was a lie. I mean, we know that they were putting their thumb on the scale for Democrats. I think part of the challenge, again, is really getting a lot of the details here of who knew what when, and documents that we have, the files that we have, shows that Twitter executives knew that they were violating their own rules and did so in a way that was tipping the scale in favor of Democrats. And again, this wasn't just a Twitter problem. This was across big tech in general. I'll give you a quick example. Google has been suppressing Republican emails leading up to the election for 10 months in a row. At the end of every month, our emails went from something about 90% hitting inboxes, meaning 90% of our emails went to people's inboxes, to 0%, meaning 100% of our emails were sent to spam by Google. And Google offered no explanation why they were doing this to Republican emails and not Democrat emails. And that affects fundraising. That affects get out the vote efforts. That's a clear way that they could potentially be an in-kind contribution to the Democratic Party. So it's about holding Twitter accountable, getting these answers, but it's also big tech in general. It includes Google. It includes Facebook. This is going to be a monumental effort to make sure that big tech doesn't keep on putting their thumb on the scales in favor of Democrats and unduly influencing our elections.
Does the Democrat Party have anything to do with this? Is there any evidence in any of these emails that the Democrat Party itself is involved in this?
There are examples of, well, the Democratic Party, there are examples of officials referencing the DNC reaching out about specific posts. We know that the Biden campaign or those affiliated with reached out about specific posts. We know that Adam Schiff and his comms director reached out about certain accounts and posts. We know that because that's in the files. That's extremely worrying and concerning. We also know to the files that this was a very broad-based effort because so many Democrats work for Twitter in the sense that registered Democrats, people that donate to Democrats. So the avenues of Democrat officials being able to reach out to a whole array of people at Twitter to get stuff censored is really one of the more astonishing stories here. And I'll tell you, from the Republican perspective, working with Twitter is a nightmare. Even getting accounts verified was a nightmare. Any communication at all was a nightmare. Back in 2018, our chair, Ronna McDaniel, was shadow banned on Twitter. And when we called them out for it, because we couldn't even find her account when searching for it, her account, when we called them out for shadow banning our chair, they insisted that wasn't happening. So it's been a complete nightmare working with Twitter from the Republicans' perspective. And now we know that they had all these links to Democrats to censor information. Another example of how inappropriate that this was.
Is there any evidence that we've seen so far, whether from Kevin McCarthy or from Jim Jordan, the incoming chair of the House Oversight Committee, that this is going to be a part of hearings early on in 2023?
Yes. What we've seen from Republicans responding is that they're dedicated to getting these answers. They've been very clear and explicit about that, really for a long time now, but especially after this, after these Twitter files, we've seen from Republican leadership that this is going to be a major priority to get these answers. And it should be. And I think in contrast to what we've seen from Democrats about whether or not they're concerned about censorship, their response by and large has been censorship fine by us. That's really how they've responded to this, which is shocking if it wasn't so expected. The Democrats are fine with censoring any speech that they don't agree with. You know, so much for the Constitution when it comes to Democrats, but the Republican House, Republican majority is going to be dedicated to getting these answers and upholding the Constitution and free speech.
Again, Tommy Pickett joining us, Rapid Response Director for the Republican National Committee. Have we had any response from Democrats, or are they trying to defend any of this?
They are, astonishingly. They're trying to defend this, really, right, even to this day. They're trying to distract from it. They're trying to dodge a lot of the specifics. But one of the incoming Democrat leadership team, Ted Lieu, talked about how he thought this was necessary and proper, about how he thought this type of censorship and communication with government officials, with Democrats, was part and parcel with Twitter doing a good job. And he said that it's unnecessary and that it's irrelevant to really look into whether Twitter was inappropriately censoring information. And he's a member of the Democrat leadership team in the House. So that's really what the response has been from Democrats. And the Biden administration has never answered a single question on Hunter Biden, except for to lie about it, to falsely claim that the Hunter Biden story is disinformation, or to falsely claim that Joe Biden has never spoken with his son about his business dealings. So they've continued to lie. They've continued to not answer. That's part of why we need these the House Republican majority in there to get these answers. But really, Democrats have decided they're fine with censorship as long as the censorship benefits them.
Tommy, let me ask you, as far as what happened today, the House January 6th committee is referring four different charges against the former president. Do you look at this as having more legs? I mean, this to me sounds like Russia, Russia, Russia all over again.
Well, unfortunately, Democrats have destroyed their credibility. I don't really have any knowledge of what investigation might be taking place beyond that, but Democrats in this committee have destroyed their credibility. They've done so again and again by refusing to have Republicans on the committee, by pursuing investigation after investigation. It's really unfortunate they have destroyed their credibility, not to mention Democrats on this committee have really used this for their own political advantage time and time again in a way that is really inappropriate and kind of betrays the fact they don't really care about getting answers. So that's really the position here. It's really a sham committee, how far this is going to go, I can't really say.
We are more than a month removed from a general election, and I'm curious if you can take us behind the scenes. What's going on now? Have you folks done a deep dive on what happened on Election Day, what happened before, what happened a couple of weeks after, relative to this general election on November 8th?
Well, I know that the chair has taken steps to form a committee, a group that's going to really take a deep dive and look at a lot of what happened and the specifics of how we can improve and how we can win more elections. I think we can all be incredibly grateful that Republicans won the majority in the House. That is going to be a massive shakeup in Washington, D.C. to hold Joe Biden accountable, to get answers. But the RNC and the chair is committed and has really already formed this group and taken steps to do that, to build on the gains we made with Hispanic Americans, for example, in Florida, for example, and then to look at areas that didn't quite reach into what was maybe expected. So that's going to be all part of that effort to really make sure that we have the most effective strategy and the most effective election plan going into 2024.
It's going to be great. 2024 is going to be with us before you know it. It is always good to visit with you. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas. Happy New Year. I know we'll be talking again in 2023. Thanks so much, Tommy. Always good to visit with you.
Hey, thanks for having me. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well.
Tommy Pickett, the Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director, joining us on the program. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, listen up. I'm Mr. Pink here, inviting you to our good credit sales event. Rates as low as 0%. Forget the Fed. Rates that are over 6? Forget about it. Come see me at Sahara Chrysler Dodge Ram for 0% while it lasts. And for challenge credit, forget about it. I got programs for that too. Call me, 833-995-4908. Again, that's 833-995-4908. And don't forget to stop by 5050 West Sahara and say hi, all right? Mr. Pink, baby!
Union Strong means bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872. Celebrating 85 Launa proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
Talking about the news of the day need not be toxic or boring. Hey, it's Rob Carson. Join me weeknights from 6 to 8 for a unique and fun look at politics and pop culture. It's the Rob Carson Show on AM 670 KMZQ, talk radio done right.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for Sage Digital. Sage, the local web design and website management company with offices in Henderson near the 215. It's simple. Alex and his brilliant creative team at Sage are the best. Is your current website company not meeting your expectations? Is your website stagnant? Are you waiting days for a return call? Are you getting no traffic and disappointing sales? Whether you need support on your existing website or need to redesign it or build it from scratch, Alex and his team have your solution. Ask for the war discount and save 15% on day one. Sage saved my bacon. They quickly understood the issues I was having and implemented creative solutions. Now Sage manages my site. They do what they say they're going to do. They answer phones and emails promptly. They understand any issue you may have with your website. They've seen it all and can quickly fix any problem. Call Sage Digital at 702-268-9000. That's 268-9000. Remember to ask for the war discount and save 15% on day one. Or find them online at sage.agency.
The holidays are here. Now through December 31st, Paul Powell will be making wishes come true. Just follow the Paul Powell Law Firm on Facebook. Comment on the daily post what you want. And Santa Paul will choose one lucky winner each day for the holidays. Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
If you like sitting around the porch or dinner table sharing stories with friends, that's what we like to do here at Our American Stories. I'm Lee Habib. We bring to you stories about American love, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreamers and marriages, and even the stories of music and acting legends. I invite you to sit around the porch with us as we share our American stories.
Every night from 10 to midnight on AM 670 KMZQ, talk radio done right.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested, don't argue, don't resist, don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I want to take you back to the Capitol. Jamie Raskin and Adam Schiff are meeting with the media at this hour after voting out referrals to the Department of Justice. Let's go there back to our nation's capital.
Personally, I have not been, but the chair would undoubtedly.
I don't think individual members have, but our staff has been in contact with the Justice Department throughout the process. Obviously, they've made requests along the way, but we expect that the evidence will be, I think beginning Wednesday, made available with exhibits, transcripts to the public, as well as the Justice Department.
So can we imply during the presentation that there's a discrepancy between Kotick's testimony and Eric Kirchman's testimony? Does the committee believe that she is not truthful during her testimony?
You know, I don't want to comment on any particular witness, but we are providing